Let's start with prayer. Heavenly Father, I can't do anything without you. I appreciate and I love you for everything you've done for me. I'm not deserving of any of it, but yet you still bestow wonderful things in my life. And for that, I'm grateful and I'm thankful. Now, Lord, hide me behind the cross, that I can share this in such a way that's clear and it's simple for everyone to get something out of it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. As I said, it's our turn to bless America, Romans chapter 12, verses 10 through 14. Speaking of a paradox of our time, we have taller buildings but shorter tempers. We spend more but have less. We buy more but enjoy less. We have more conveniences but less time. We have more degrees but less sense, more knowledge, less wisdom and judgment, more experts, yet more problems. We've multiplied our possessions and reduced our values. We've learned how to make a living but not a life. We've added years to life, not life to years. We've been all the way to the moon and back but have trouble crossing the street to meet a new neighbor. We've cleaned up the air but we've polluted our souls. As sad and as true as all these statements are, don't mistake me. I still believe that America is the greatest country in the world, and we are truly blessed to have been born and reared in this great land. Amen. I've been other places, and I can tell you, this is the best place still. A lot of things I see that's happening that I'm not happy with. God's been unhappy with a lot of things that he's seen through the years. So if you're with me now, Romans chapter 12, verse 10 is our first way that we can bless America. We can do it with our Christian devotion. We do it with our Christian devotion. Being devoted to one another in brotherly love, giving preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. The Christian devotion of brotherly love. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. What is brotherly love? It's silence when your words could hurt somebody. It's deafness when some gossip begins to flow. It's courage when misfortune falls. It's willingness to help another. It's restitution made when due. It's patience when your brother is rude. It's compassion for a brother's woes. It's firmness when one duty calls. It's trusting, and especially a brother in the Lord. It's forgiving when asked of you. The Christian devotion gives preference one to another in honor. And if it's a Christian, I expect it to be even better. The Christian devotion of bold service in verse 11, not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. All of this devotion is in serving the Lord. As an illustration, do you know what city in America is called the city of brotherly love? Anybody? It is Philadelphia. I know the town only from its baseball team, and I would say it doesn't deserve the name. A player that lives in Philadelphia who plays for St. Louis Cardinals jokingly said his child was booed on Easter Sunday because he had collected the fewest Easter eggs in the Easter egg hunt. J.D. Drew, another player for the Cardinals, was drafted in the college draft by the Philadelphia baseball team. He demanded more money to sign a contract than the Philadelphia team would pay to sign. So J.D. went back to the draft pool and the next year was signed up by the Cardinals. In Drew's first game in Philadelphia playing for the Cardinals, he had flashlight batteries thrown at him as he stood in the center field. They had to stop the game and threaten to call the game a forfeit. JD is a Christian and blessed the Philadelphia fans with a home run that day. In application, how many times have you heard someone say, "I went to church, but they fought and fussed too much"? This nation has seen way too many churches fussing and fighting. You'd be surprised the stupid arguments that Christians can find to fight with one another, such as the color of the carpet. You listening to me? Do you know how this affects people who are not Christians? Do you have any idea how this affects them? If you knew, you'd keep your mouth shut when you're tempted to make a fuss about something. It affects other people. We need to remember the history of the church and its biblical admonition of brotherly love. So let me remind you, Proverbs chapter 6, 16 through 19. "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren." So it's time for Christians to bless America with our devotion. The second thing we can bless America with is our prayer life, verse 12. "Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer." Samuel Chadwick said, "The one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies or prayerless work and prayerless religion. In fact, he laughs at our toils and mocks at our wisdom, but he trembles when we pray." Andrew Murray said, "The man who mobilizes the Christian church to pray will make the greatest contribution to world evangelism in history." E.M. Bounds said, "What the church needs today is not new machinery or better and new organizations or more novel methods, but men with the Holy Spirit can use mighty in prayer. The Holy Spirit does not flow through methods, but through men and women of prayer." We can bless with hopeful prayer, rejoicing in hope. James chapter 1, 6 and 7 says, "But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord." Bless with persevering prayer. Persevering in tribulation, be devoted to prayer. In Acts 1:14, "These all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." Acts 2:42, "They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer." Acts 6:4, "But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Acts 12:5, "So Peter was kept in prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church to God." Dwight L. Moody went to England not to preach, but to listen to others preach. One Sunday morning, he was asked to preach in a London pulpit. Somehow, the right spiritual atmosphere was just not there that Sunday. He confessed afterwards that he had never had such a hard time preaching. Everything just seemed dead. He said to himself, "What a fool I was to consent to preach. I came here to listen, and here I am preaching." Then the awful thought came to him that he had to preach again that night. And only the fact that he had given his promise to do so kept him faithful to the engagement. When Moody stepped into the pulpit that night and faced the congregation, he was conscious of a new atmosphere. He said the powers of the unseen world seemed to have fallen on this audience. As he concluded his message and offered the invitation, he said, "If there is a man or a woman here tonight who will accept Jesus Christ, please stand up." About 500 people stood up that evening. Now for the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say, page 2. When Dwight L. Moody preached at that morning service, there was a woman in the congregation who had an invalid sister at home. When she returned home, she told her invalid sister that the preacher had been Mr. Moody from Chicago. "What?" she exclaimed. "Mr. Moody from Chicago. I read about him some time ago in an American newspaper, and I have been praying for God to send him to London to preach in our church. If I had known he was going to preach this morning, I would have not eaten breakfast. I would have spent the whole time in prayer. Now, sister, go out of the room, lock the door, and send me no dinner. And no matter who comes, don't let them in to see me. I'm going to spend the whole afternoon and evening in prayer." And so it was that Sunday night when Dwight L. Moody preached. There was a completely different atmosphere. 500 people said they wanted to accept Jesus as their Savior. What a difference prayer can make. It's time for Christians to bless America with our prayer life. Thirdly, we can bless America with our giving. Verse 13. Contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. At my last theological seminary meeting, a retired professor had spoken to us. And at the conclusion, he said, "I'm going to do something I would not normally do." One of my students came to me after class saying he had lost his job and didn't know how he would get the money for his graduation fees. He told me other things also that he needed. And so I, without permission, am going to pass the hat. And the 30 trustees that were present that day gave over $600 to help this man. Christians are known by their giving and their forgiving. Their giving and their forgiving. Romans 12:13. When God's children are in need, you be the one to help them. The scripture says if it's within your power to do so, you should do so. If it's within your power, do so. Get into the habit of inviting guests home for dinner, or if they happen to need lodging for the night. I'm very happy with our people here when we have visiting guests and speakers. You bake pies for them. You do all kinds of things for them. Take them out to eat. Invite them to your home. That's what we should be doing. That's exactly what we should be doing. That's what Christians should be doing. That's hospitality. Did you know that we're to be given to hospitality because Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 says, "For some have entertained angels unawares." Some have entertained angels unawares. So be given to hospitality. You might be entertaining an angel and you don't know it. God's testing you. Do you ever think about that? A few years ago, I called upon a girl by the name of Krista from the office and said, "I want you to come to the office and see a young woman who's destitute and needs a place to stay." Krista said, "Are you saying you want us to put her up?" I said, "Come see her before I tell you anything more." This young lady looked like a daughter of one of our best friends. Our heart was touched because our friend's daughter had recently died from a rare kind of cancer. Krista was reluctant, but came down to the office and she agreed. We took the girl in, and for first 24 hours, she probably sucked 20 of them. She lived with us for a few days. We got clothes for her. Our daughter Tammy treated her like a friend as they went to the movies and did all kinds of other things. We took her to her family, tried to help her in every way. One day she asked Krista to take her downtown, and at a stoplight, she got out of the car and ran away. Krista could not find her. We think maybe she couldn't handle being treated like that. She wasn't used to being treated that way. But for the rest of her life, she will have to remember that our family tried to help her. We tried to bless her because Christ led us to do this. It's time for Christians to bless America with our giving. Number four, we can bless America by giving a blessing. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. No profanity. Bless and do not curse. You see, the world expects cussing, not blessing. Luke chapter 6, 28 says, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Romans 12, 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. 1 Corinthians 4, 12 and 13, and we toil working with our own hands. When we're reviled, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure. When we are slandered, we try to conciliate. We have become as the scum of the world, the dregs of all things, even unto now. James 3:10, from the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. 1 Peter 3:9, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. And so in conclusion today, Adrian Rogers was a president of SBC. He preached at the recent convention in Dallas. He told of his first attempt to lead someone to Jesus. He was a new Christian at the time. He went downtown to get some gas, as I recall. He was shirtless and shoeless at the time. A transient asked him for a handout. He told this old needy man he didn't have any money. As he walked away, the Lord placed the impression on him, tell that old man about Jesus. But Adrian thought, I'm young. I don't have a Bible or a New Testament. I don't even have a shirt and shoes. But the Lord continued to impress Adrian to witness. He turned toward the man and saw him looking at him. He went to the man and said, I don't have a Bible, but I'd like to share a word with you about Jesus. At that time, that man pulled out a New Testament and said, somebody gave this to me. Would this help? Adrian turned to John 3:16. He told the man how he could believe in Jesus and be saved. The man responded by saying yes to Jesus. They knelt right there on the street. As Adrian started to leave, the man with tears in his eyes said, son, I have been all over these United States, and you're the only person who ever told me about Jesus. Adrian Rogers blessed that man that day. And it is our turn to bless America. Would you stand? Since we're dismissed, we'll go out this door and we'll have the placing of the memorial bricks. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful day. What a beautiful day and wonderful day. Not only are we free from our sins, but we're free to do everything that we'd like to do in this country. Father, even there's things that we don't think's very nice to do, and yet we still have the freedom to do it. We are free. Lord, whom you made free is free indeed. And so, Lord, I'm grateful and thankful for that freedom. I just pray that all these that practice their freedoms would understand that freedom is not free. It has cost a lot of people their lives, including you. It cost you your life on Calvary to make us free. Thank you, Lord, for dying for me. Thank you for making me free. Thank you for each and every one that's here today. What a joy and blessing it's been. We've sang, we've prayed, we preached. Now it's soon time to go home. We want to thank you, Lord, for our loved ones who we're going to remember. I want to thank you for them. I want to thank you for a mom and dad that never gave up on me and loved me. And they took me to church when I didn't want to go. But Lord, I believe I'm here today because they were faithful to you. And Lord, I'm very appreciative and thankful for them. As I am with this family that's standing in your presence. Thank you for this wonderful and beautiful day. We give you the praise and the glory that you are so deserving of. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen.